comes because when we can make that connection with ourselves, that's the whole point behind masturbation and self-pleasure, is literally learning your body and learning what makes you tick and learning what brings you pleasure. How the fuck am I supposed to expect somebody else to give me an orgasm if I don't understand yet how I'm even able to achieve an orgasm?
Welcome to Honey Do Me, a podcast that goes into the bedroom and beyond, hosted by Emma Norman
and Cass Anderson.
Here at Honey Do Me, we don't have all the answers, so we chat with experts, educators, and badass changemakers to get them. We are here to remind our listeners and ourselves that what we're going through is normal, that we are worthy of love and pleasure,
and that we are all in this together. So tell us, honey, how do you do you?
Dig it up. I'll dig it. That's the only song that popped
into my head. And what is that from?
It's from Holes. That's the only thing that came to my mind.
The Shia LaBeouf movie.
The Shia LaBeouf movie. But that shouldn't be related to this topic today.
It shouldn't, because what we're talking about today is masturbation with the lovely sex educator, Rachel Main.
Yes, and she doesn't bring up the movie Holes once.
Not once.
And I don't know why. That was the first thing that came to mind.
We talk about going inside a little bit.
We talk about
entering
digging your fingers
in your precious goddess hole.
Your precious goddess hole. That's the name of this episode. Your precious goddess hole.
Digging in your precious goddess hole.
I think it's just good to have a refresher course on masturbation because we don't talk about it enough.
No.
Well, you and I do.
Well.
But the world doesn't.
We have talked about this before, but we haven't touched on it from the perspectives that we have now as grown women.
Grown. Well, just standing more in our position of wanting to learn and wanting to learn technique. Because I think when we initially talked about it, we talked about shame around masturbation, which is so important.
And we do talk about that again.
Exactly. But this time it's about how do we do it? Mm-hmm. How does, like, because I don't know any tips beyond what I taught myself.
Exactly. I have been doing it the same way since I learned how. And
exactly.
It's not that spicy.
Which is the first thing that we brought up was like, I don't know how I'll learn anything else.
Exactly.
And it's just fun to talk about it with someone else who probably masturbates the same way and or doesn't and can teach us new things.
Yeah. So this is definitely an episode for vagina owners, or if you love somebody that owns a vagina, we'll definitely get to the penises.
Oh, I'm later. So excited We're to get to the penises. Because that, talk about things I don't know how to do more than one way.
Masturbate with a penis.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Rachel was so good. So many new tips and tricks I feel like we're excited to try out and have you guys try out, I guess.
And we will see you on the other side.
See you on the other side.
On the other side.
Went from DJ to race car.
I thought I was a cat.
Yay. Thank you so much for having me. So hi, I'm Rachel Main, and I'm from Rockwood, Michigan, live on Lake Erie, here with my husband. We'll be married 3 years in June 9th, actually. Yes, our wedding date is 69.
Aw, love it.
Which just makes sense, you know, because I'm a sex coach and all that good stuff. So we have two dogs together, and I started this journey of sex, if you will, about 7 years ago when I started at Pure Romance, which is a direct sales company known pretty much all over the world. I started doing parties for women. If you ever attended a Pure Romance party before, you know there's a lot of sexual health education at those parties. And when I started realizing how much women were lacking the sexual health knowledge and information about their bodies and their sexuality, that's when I decided to go back to school. I got a certificate from University of Michigan in sex therapy and sexuality education. Actually, Joe Court, who you both know, was one of my professors. So it's
amazing.
Full circle.
That's
yeah.
so cool.
Yeah, Joe is just, he's amazing. He's here local too in Michigan. So that's super neat. But yeah, so I worked in private practice sex therapy for about 3 years and then just recently left the private practice, to work and scale my own, sex coaching business. So now I work primarily with women. I work with them to, help them discover and embrace what brings them pleasure so that they can own their sexual self.
Oh, I love it. That's a perfect mission for your life.
Yeah.
Well, what we really want to talk about today is masturbation. And I feel like we usually started out by explaining what our topic is, but I think we all kind of get what masturbating is. So let's start with what can kind of get in the way of masturbating, either when you're just starting, when you're young, or as an adult, like kind of the shame that is wrapped up in masturbation.
Yeah, that's a great question to start with. So with my work with individuals, one of the very first thing that I ask people is, how do you remember learning about sex? And what was your first memory of exploring with masturbation or self-pleasure? I love the word masturbation. I know there's so many people out there that has such a negative connotation to it. So you'll hear me use the two interchangeably. But with masturbation, I think it goes back so far where, again, that very first experience, how do you remember when you first discovered what your vulva was or discovered that there was pleasure when you touched in certain areas? Maybe you wiped a little bit with more pressure at some point. Maybe you were like me and you just balled up socks and humped your stuffed animals like growing up. It could be literally anything. Maybe you had a showerhead experience or bathtub incident, anything like that. So I think that one of the things that stands in the way of people when it comes to their self-pleasure is whatever happened in those very early on years. If you told, let's say, a parent, like, hey, mom, dad, when I wiped, like, that felt good. Like, I felt tingly down here. Or maybe you are doing it in the living room with family members around, right? If you're someone that's a penis owner, you start putting your hands down your pants, right? It could be so many things, but whatever that initial reaction was from the person that you told, that shapes so much of how then we see sex and sexuality literally for the rest of our lives. I primarily, again, work with adults right now, adult women of all ages. And it is so crazy when you ask them that question, they're like, holy fuck, like no wonder I feel dirty after I touch myself or shameful after I touch myself. So I think that's the biggest thing is really that initial reaction that you get from people.
Mm-hmm. I love thinking of things in that way and really going back and being like, where did I get these beliefs from? And even like, I think sometimes we don't even recognize that we have beliefs around these things. But like when you really sit back and look at what you went through, it's like, yeah, no shit that mm-hmm. I feel a little weird, even if I don't have like the word shame for it or even if I don't pin shame right. to it. And I've been noticing on TikTok a lot when people are talking about, oh, my God, I can't remember or I can't believe I used to tell my dad that it feels so good when I touch myself on the couch this way. And it's like, oh my God, yeah, so cringy, but also like,
go you.
That moment has so much potential to right. set somebody up for like a very empowered sexual life. And I don't think we really recognize that moment as so
right.
impactful.
Totally. I don't remember ever speaking with my mom or dad about masturbating or touching myself at all. But I remember when I was really young, I had like a very sexual dream. I was probably like 7, but I was at that age where I felt so embarrassed or so ashamed to keep secrets from my parents. So I told my mom, but I was like mortified and I thought I was like the dirtiest, the worst person ever. I was like streaming tears, telling her that I had a dream about a boy, like that I was kissing him. And it's just, it's crazy how that can start so young and then play out into your adult life if you don't really address it or recognize it.
Mm-hmm. I have a similar experience with my mom. I remember, I feel like I was probably around the same age, like 7, 8, 9, and Dirty Dancing was a thing. And the movie, The Bodyguard, with Whitney Houston, those are like my two jams. I freaking love those movies. And I just remember like I would love to sing and act like I was Whitney Houston. And I remember telling my mom one time, I'm like, I was in just like, I don't know, like sweatpants, right, in a sweatshirt. And I was like, oh, mom, like I'm going to perform. So I know I need to go put on my nightgown and I need to like have this silky thing on. She's like, why? Like, and to me, I was like, I want to put on something that makes me feel confident. I felt and feel, quote unquote sexy, even though I was at this young age. And it's like, it's so crazy to think back. And especially when you're in this line of work, to think back of all these moments that have literally shaped you again into the sexual being that you are today. And it's such a young age, you don't even know it. And you're just so innocent and naive to everything around you, but now when I look back, I'm like, fuck, I was just a little child freak and I didn't even know it.
I was also a child freak, so I totally relate to that. I was the one, I've told this story before, where I brought like a whole naked body book, like where you identify the anatomy in preschool, and then I got sent home with it. It's like, please don't send this with your daughter. And I was like, I just want to know what penises and vaginas look like
and share it with others.
I'm a 4-year-old and a pervert and I don't care. How would you like suggest talking about it when you're that young then? Like, do you have any advice for those first conversations about masturbation that could set you up for like a healthy relationship with it?
Yeah, definitely. I think this answer really speaks more to the parents that are probably listening to this podcast. And when you have a young one coming to you and sharing about their pleasure, sharing about their sexuality, I think that it is the best thing that you can do is really to normalize whatever it is that they're feeling. And I'm assuming you as an adult, you know, and can correlate and you know what it is that they're speaking to. So I think if you just normalize what they're going through, what they're sharing with you, and make them not feel that shame and just make them feel heard and understood. And then if you as the parent want to set up some boundaries and say things like, yes, this is a great thing for you to explore. This is totally natural. This is human-like. You know, pleasure is your birthright, depending, you know, on the age, of course. But just saying, you know, these are things that you want to do in private, right? If you want to enjoy this part of your body, you know, do this in your bedroom. Like, don't do this in public. We don't want, you know, children getting arrested and shit like that, you know? So, but I think that is normalizing and thanking that child or that individual for coming to you and trusting in you enough to be able to share that really, really scary thing probably for them.
Absolutely. And it's like, I feel like if the first initial response from the parent or whoever they're speaking to is like embarrassed and laughing and kind of like, oh, let's not talk about it. Like that also gets internalized. And that's how I was viewing masturbation for a long time. So I was like, oh, I'm embarrassed. I shouldn't talk about it. This is like not something a woman should be talking about, you know? And it's like
a lady.
Because my conversations with my parents about sex was always like, yes, what questions do you have? And it's like, I don't want that for my kids. Like, I love it. They did a great job. But, you know, I want to be able to have, clearly I'm fine talking about sex now, but I just want to be able to have those conversations so that if they have questions early on, they don't feel embarrassed to ask me. Mm-hmm. And like the conversation, I won't embarrass them by their conversation. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I feel like all of these are great tips to talk about too.
I want to know, so, you know, there's a lot of us who didn't get that empowering response. So what are some like practices that we can do now to start working through that shame? Because when we were talking about this interview and we were talking about questions, we were talking about shame, and I was like, oh my God, like I would be so embarrassed if somebody walked in on me masturbating. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, like if a stranger did, of course. Yeah. But like if my partner walked in, I would be like
mortified.
And it's like, why? Mm-hmm. Like what can I do?
What can I do?
Yeah, I think that incident that you just shared is probably most women would say the same thing. They would feel very like, oh shit, like what just happened? You've caught me in a sense, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doing the dirty. Like I could probably say the same. I think even, you know, if my husband were very open about this, but there have been times I'll say like, hey, I'm going to go in the other room and masturbate real quick. Like I don't have time for this whole sex thing that going to take some time. So I just need like 30 seconds to myself. We're good. And so even then, like him knowing literally what I'm doing in the room, if he were to walk in, I'd be like, get out. Right. Like,
yeah, exactly.
He's never seen me naked before. I think it's just, that just goes along with when you think of masturbation or self-pleasure, you were taught and society teaches us that that is this thing that you do by yourself, right? For yourself, by yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I don't necessarily think that there's anything wrong with keeping it that way and wanting to keep that part of yourself with yourself. I also, on the other hand, think that there's great fun behind mutual masturbation and, you know, masturbating next to your partner while they're doing the same thing. That can be great too. But in terms of breaking down the shame, I think that really it just is going to come from talking about it. So if you haven't yet reached out to somebody that does sex coaching or sex therapy, somebody that is open to talking about this, because it goes so much beyond just a quote unquote regular therapist, right? If I'm seeing somebody for depression and sex comes up, I want to make sure I am talking with somebody that is comfortable and it has that open sexual mind to hearing what I'm going through, you know? Mm-hmm. And I find a lot of help too with people that are journaling. So if you can kind of create almost like backtrack in your life and create for yourself a sexual timeline, you know, when do you remember learning about sex? When was the first time you explored your vulva? When do you remember, looking at a mirror at your body? When do you remember having sex for the first time or self-pleasuring for the first time? And you make this literally like a sex timeline. All of your sexual partners, for some of us that can be really quick, and for some of us that can take months, right? But then it's like, okay, you can then backtrack when you have this timeline and do some journaling. What do you remember about those situations? What did you learn about yourself sexually? What did the other person learn about you sexually? And I think there's just so much power behind that. And being able to first identify where the shame came from, who the shame came from even, can really help you to rewrite your script and start living, that newfound comfortability when it comes to your sexuality.
Mm-hmm. When you said writing about your sexual experience with each partner, I realized that I've never thought about it beyond either I regret them or that was a bad time. It's always like negative thoughts. I don't think about, which, can tell its own story, which is fair, but I don't think about like, well, what did I learn about myself and what did I learn about them? And like, what can I reflect on through this? I've never really spent too much time thinking about the people that I've had sex with, mainly because 95% of them suck, but, but I also could learn a lot and work through whatever I'm still like hung up on in regards to my own, the way I view myself sexually in my masturbation practice. So that's really interesting. I think that'd be really, that would be fun with a glass of wine to do.
Yeah, I agree. I've never done anything like that.
Right.
And I know you're talking about like writing about the positive stuff, but what I'm thinking of is like the moments when I did feel shame about my body or my vulva specifically, because I know that in all of the other self-work that I do, I write down like my beliefs about myself, and seeing it on paper is really helpful because I'm like, oh shit, like that's not true. And then I can start to work through like, well, where did I get that from? And so I think doing those same sort of things around masturbation and sex in general, so powerful.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
There's a reason you do this. You're good at this.
You're good at this. So if you're in a partnership and you want to be like, give me 30 seconds, what if that relationship isn't like at the point where you can talk about masturbating and it's healthy, or one partner feels like jealous or left out or like, oh, you don't want me, you'd rather go have yourself. Like, how do you kind of work through a relationship and masturbating?
Yeah, definitely. Great question. Cause I know that not every relationship would have the ability to do that.
Right.
What I find mostly though, in the relationships that jealousy or that lack of trust is coming in, it's often something much deeper rooted than that. So it's not so much I'm mad because you're going to masturbate. It's, you said it perfectly. You want that over me, sort of mentality. And that just comes with our own personal insecurities. That could come from abandonment issues that happened in our past. That could come from some parental issues. That could come from previous trauma. I mean, there's so many things that could root that thought of relief. And that in itself is also a limiting belief that our partners may have on us, right? That's not true. It's not that I want this vibrator over you. Maybe it's that I just need that 30 seconds or a minute to myself for that moment. Maybe it's truthfully that I've literally have to leave the house in 3 minutes and I don't even have time to like take my clothes off. I just want to dry out my vibe real quick. Like, get off my back, right?
Off my back.
So I think that, so if a couple is listening that is going through that, I think the first place that you start is really just having more just short conversations about sex in general, and trying new things together. I think that's another fun thing. Like I mentioned, the mutual masturbation, but when you can have these small bite-sized conversations with one another and say, ask questions like, well, what do you think about shower sex? What do you think about role play? What do you think about oral or giving? Or, it could literally be anything, but when you're able to talk more freely and more often about those things, I think that it just comes easier for both people involved, or all people involved, I should say.
Mm-hmm. So do you recommend like maintaining a masturbation practice when you are in a long-term relationship?
Girl, hell to the yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. That is one of my, just like is a dagger to my heart when people are like, oh, I don't need to masturbate anymore. I'm in a relationship or I have a partner. And I'm like, gosh. Oh God.
You are missing out.
Yes.
So
bless
much.
Your heart is what bless happened. Your heart. But no, so yes, is the short answer. And that comes because when we can make that connection with ourselves. That's the whole point behind masturbation and self-pleasure, is literally learning your body and learning what makes you tick and learning what brings you pleasure. How the fuck am I supposed to expect somebody else to give me an orgasm if I don't understand yet how I'm even able to achieve an orgasm? If I don't know that I don't like deep penetration, or I don't like receiving oral, I don't like clitoral stimulation, or I do like clitoral stimulation, right? We have to know those things about our bodies so that we can communicate those to our partners and be able to give that positive direction when intimacy is occurring. I really like this. I really like this pressure. I really like this vibration. I like it when you kiss me here, touch me there, right? Like, these are all positive things. And honestly, like, I get asked often about dirty talk. That's your dirty talk. Like, when you can tell your partner, like, this is what I want, and this is how I want, and this is what turns me on, that is where it's at.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm. And what a good way to, like, think about it. If the hurdle itself is like, how do I masturbate if I have a partner? It's like, because you want to be a good partner, like, mm-hmm. to be a great sexual partner in your long-term relationship, like, you need to keep discovering yourself and what you like. And so maybe just mm-hmm. think about it that way. If it's like a hard hurdle for you to get over mentally,
it's a service for everyone involved. It's a service.
Yeah. I'm helping us. Yeah. And dirty talk, that makes sense. Cause you'd be like, I like it when you do, you could be more direct about what you like. That's fun.
Yeah. I think how liberating that is for women specifically, right? For women, for so long, there's always this stigma against us. You know, if we're having too much sex, we're a slut. If we're not having any sex, we're a prude. And for men, it's vice versa. It's like that, you know, attaboy for however many, like, how many sexual partners can you get in a day or a week, right? They're patted on the back for those things. And so for a woman to be able to use her voice in the bedroom and take that ownership of her orgasm and give that direction and feel that empowering moment for herself, and then to actually get the orgasm, or it doesn't even have to be the orgasm, just the pleasure in general. That is why I do the work that I do. When women come back to me and they're like, guess what the fuck I did last night? I'm like, yes, like, that is amazing.
I love that so much. And so would you say that mutual masturbation is like the pinnacle of what you can get to with, in terms of like a masturbation relationship in your partnership? Mm-hmm. Like, now we're so good, you're gonna watch me, I'm gonna watch you. Like, should we all be striving to mutually masturbate?
Because we'll be upfront, we're terrified, yeah, of the idea.
We made up a lot of scenarios of things we'd rather do than mutually masturbate.
It's so scary.
It sounds so scary.
I hear that, I honor that, and I think that the scariest part, so try it if one of your partners is like, you guys are not right next to, or I guess either way, if you're trying to lay right next to each other, I think where the scary part comes in is that feeling of being seen. Mm-hmm, yes. Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, right? So if you're laying directly next to each other, you literally have to be like looking over to be watching each other. So maybe that would take the pressure off, rather, or you might like it better if you are like one person's feet, like, you know, you're like sitting opposite ways, right? My feet are up here next to your head, and you're, you know, vice versa. Mm-hmm. So that could be another way. Or even if you're both lying on your sides with your backs against each other, so there isn't that eye contact. So, you know, start small. If you are in, when I say another way to start small too, maybe you are mutually masturbating, but you're not necessarily next to each other. Maybe you both are in the know of what's happening, but one of you's in the bedroom and one of you's in the living room. Right. So you can make these small steps to eventually then get to that level. But I love that you said, is it the pinnacle? Cause now that I've never been asked that before, but now that I'm thinking, like, that's really, really vulnerable to be able to allow yourself and for your partner to allow that same thing to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you have to be really secure as well. Like we were talking about earlier, if you feel like, oh, you're choosing that over me, you know, so if you're watching someone do that, you're like, oh, I'm watching you do it better than me or something, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like it could bring up a lot of emotions if you're not having those conversations about masturbating while you're in a relationship.
Yeah. For me, mm-hmm. I don't totally know if I'm like attracted to watching somebody masturbate. Like, if I'm being honest, I just don't know if that's something that I'm into.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just have to try it.
Not yet. I have a lot of steps before I get there. Steps.
The only line that's coming to my head right now is in New Girl when Schmidt's like, it's like a taffy pull on a summer's day. Like when you're just yanking on it, you know? And it's just like, that's what I think of is what I'm going to see.
Yeah.
And I don't want to watch.
Yeah, I don't actually know if I've watched a penis owner masturbate.
I've never even seen them touch it, really. Like, sexually. Like, I've,
you know? There's so much to explore in life.
We do want to get into more of the, like, logistics around masturbation. So, like, how to actually do it. Because, honestly, I feel like I've been doing the exact same thing since I started, and it's boring as hell. Mm-hmm. And so, like, sometimes I'll bring in a toy, and that's fun, but it's like, I would love to know what to do with these things at the end of my arms. Because mm-hmm. I have no idea what to do with them. And it's like,
I've never had a partner do it in a way that I was like, I want to try that. With their hands, if I'm being honest.
Lovely.
That wasn't nice, but it was honest.
We got to be honest.
But yeah, so we really want to get into how.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So do you have any main tips? Yeah.
Yeah, I have all the tips. So I think first it has to come down to you want to set the scene for yourself, right? So you almost want to set it up as if you're having a date night for yourself. So figure out what are those indicators that you want around. Maybe it's a smell, maybe it's a texture, maybe you want to use a blindfold, maybe you want your favorite lube. So really getting your mind right, really, because our brain is our number one sex organ. So that has to be turned on for us to feel turned on. So you want to set your scene so that you are walking into a really, you know, desirable atmosphere, basically. So that's the easy part, right? So then if you want to start, so for somebody that's really starting off with masturbation, I think that there's so much power behind not going straight to your genitalia, right? So maybe starting by, you know, caressing your lip as I'm sitting here doing it on video. That's not weird at all, right?
visual aspect, right? I love it.
Yeah. So you're caressing your arms, you're caressing your legs, right? You're maybe rubbing your belly, maybe you move to your breast, and then you go to your vulva then. And so I think that there's so much there, that just taking that time for yourself, because really you want to explore your body. And I think it's also really cool for people that are starting off to really notice how their body goes through those changes. So noticing, you know, your heart rate increase or your breath start to quicken, maybe you start to get sweaty or hot or things like that. So noticing when you can see your body literally going from desire to arousal phase, and then working towards that buildup of orgasm, if you will. So I think starting slow, setting that scene, when you then get to, when you're doing the genital touching, really, again, you know, most people are going to tell you that the clitoral stimulation is going to be the best part. And while I don't want to say it's like the best part, but most 85% of women need clitoral stimulation to even achieve an orgasm. And I think in society, when you think about movies and things that you've watched where a woman has been masturbating, it's always been like finger penetration, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is, like, most women don't need that any sort of penetration to even occur to have an orgasm. So I would say if you just start with the external touching at first and really figuring out what the pressure is like, what sort of movement, do you like quick movement? Do you like slower movement? Do you want to be on your back? Does that feel good? If not, try laying flat on your stomach, try on your side. I recently made a post on Instagram actually, which is 31 different ideas for switching up your masturbation. Definitely go find that. Cause that talks about, you know, using different lubes, using extra lubes, trying it in the shower, again, trying on your back, trying on your stomach, using some enhancements to switch things up. But it really, I think it just comes with more practice. So, you know, trying something and getting really good at one thing. If you can bring yourself to orgasm doing it one certain way and you can kind of master that certain way, so, you know, then that is kind of your go-to, if you will, then allow yourself to open up and try these new different scenarios or new textures and things.
That was the best rundown I think I've ever had on masturbation. And I have so many questions. So in the beginning, you said, like, if you want a blindfold, so do you encourage, like, trying a little bit kinkier things as well, like with yourself? Like, if you like blindfolds or you like different props or something?
Yeah, for sure. If especially if somebody was wanting to explore more in the BDSM lifestyle with a partner, I definitely recommend that they can try that on their own first. Even if it's just having one, you know, trying one handcuff because you want another hand free, right? you know, or a hand to leg sort of cuff. You know, you're taking away that use of limb. But the blindfold specifically, the blindfold is one of my favorite. It's not even a sex toy, but one of my favorite bedroom accessories, if you will, because again, for women with our brain being our number one sex organ, if we're thinking about doing the dishes, switching the laundry, our boss being a dick, you know, earlier in the day, that is literally fucking with our clitoris. And it is not, not in the best fair, way. Right? It's not. It's like, can you just be nice to me? Like, can the world please go my way? Because I'd really like to get fucked tonight.
Right? I'd like to get fucked tonight. Amen.
Seriously. Jesus. So the blindfold, if you will, the blindfold can help take away that sense of sight, and it literally helps to turn off our brains. So for sure, if you're wanting to explore that with yourself and then maybe also with a partner, I definitely recommend that.
Oh, I love that. That was such a good tip. I think I got gifted a blindfold from our a night eye thing from our friend. Mm-hmm. And so now I want to use it for that. For those purposes. So shout out to her. Appreciate it.
I'm sure that was its intended purpose.
Yeah, why not, right?
She did give us lube at the same time, so it might have been its intended purpose.
Oh, right. Yeah. I'm wondering, like, let's specifically talk about, like, external stimulation. What are some things that you can try with your hand? Because obviously it's going to be, you know, up to the individual, what they actually like. But sometimes I feel like I literally don't even know what to do, and then I just do the exact same thing, which is usually just, like, clitoral stimulation. Yep.
Like Emma's this. Demonstrating with her hand. Just
everybody knows. Everybody gets what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Okay. So I'll show you my little clitoris here.
Okay. Love it. Clitoris.
So what most people are doing is stimulating up here, right? This is like the tip of the iceberg. This is what we see at the top of the vulva. But you see the clitoris is actually shaped like a wishbone. So it has these clitoral legs. So you had asked what specifically to do with your hands, right? So if you are wanting to explore here, most people, if you do direct stimulation to the clitoris, like straight on top of it, a lot of times it's like ticklish is the best way for me, but it's not, it just doesn't feel pleasurable. Right. So for a lot of times you want to almost like you were saying, like kind of almost like a downward motion. So if you can start at the top and you're doing like a downward motion, that is going to be better pressure wise, I think. But another cool thing to know about the clitoris actually is that we have a preference if we like stimulation on the left side versus the right side.
Oh,
I know. Right. So that's everyone's homework listening to this, because if you are let's say a right side girl, that means that you need like that downward pressure to come in from the right side. The left side is not as it can still be orgasmic, but your right side is really like, if you're trying to get there quick or anything like that, that's where you would want to start. I know.
Crazy, that's right? Cool. No idea. New. Oh yes. My God.
And another cool thing as well is we also have a preference if we like the fluttering sort of stimulation, or like tapping like a rabbit sort of would be on a vibrator, or if we need just a constant vibrating pattern. So just like a slow, medium, and a high. So if you are a constant contact girl, right, and you are using a vibration, or your partner is doing some sort of tapping or some sort of teasing, that is pissing you off, basically. That is not your jam. That is not providing anything good for you. And so that's also really helpful to know. So if you are somebody that owns a vibrator, most of us have like our favorite setting, right? We use the same one every time, but I would challenge you really to try all the settings to see what, you know, what maybe new level you can take your body to. Now the last thing I wanted to say then, again, we mostly focus up here on the tip of the iceberg, is how I refer to it. But if you can get something that will stimulate all these legs too, you are going to feel a stronger orgasm because your clitoral legs are being triggered as well. So how you can do that is if you, I'm like, what kind of sex toys do I have? I know they're around. If you basically have something that, well, I have like a womanizer right here. So the womanizer is only going to give me suction around that clitoris, right? But if I can get something that has maybe like a little bit of fatter head to it, like a wand maybe, that hitting more area, I guess, of the clitoris triggers for you to feel it through the clitoral legs as well.
So you don't even necessarily have to stimulate like the labia, it's just like more of like the clitoral head.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I will say both, because there's okay. also great benefit too. Like, if we're kind of going back to what we were saying earlier, like exploring all of the vulva, if you can start by just having the vibration on the clitoral leg, so on your labia, basically it sits behind there, and starting there rather than going straight to the clitoris, that can also help you with that buildup. And again, just exploring new sensations in different ways than you're used to. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
I'm going to get really specific. Is it? Sorry.
Go. No, please.
So if you're trying to stimulate the labia and you have like a vibrator, would you like hot dog it or like, like I want like specifics. Like, yeah. Like what would you do?
I think you could hot dog it. I think okay. any way that feels good to you is great.
Okay.
Personally, what I like is to just do kind of like a little dragging, like okay. up and down, kind of over it, and switch from side to side. Even if you're like stimulating kind of like in the crease of your leg and pelvic area, that's also beneficial, right? There's so many nerve endings in that area of our body. So just get creative. Honestly, there's no wrong way of doing it. Please hot dog it and let me know how it goes.
Okay, how would you want me to describe it?
That is the perfect way to describe it, because I immediately can picture it, but the fact that it's like a hot dog.
It's a so podcast. Funny. I have to describe it with my words.
Fuck, that was funny.
Sorry, I'm good at it.
You are really good at it. I love that. Anyway.
Thank you
for
those specifics.
We had an episode with Susan Bratton, and she was also speaking about you know, just elongating the process of masturbating so that you're just turning, you're getting more turned on. Mm-hmm. You can feel like your vulva, everything start to like swell just because there's more blood flow. And I've been trying to practice, because I'm someone that likes to just jump the gun and go straight to what I know I can do. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to practice with like going slower, feeling myself get more turned on, like literally feeling down mm-hmm. there how fast the blood flow can really come in when you're just like, you know, trying to turn yourself on fully. And it was, mm-hmm. it's crazy because it is more of a full body orgasm, or it can be. And I haven't like totally perfected my masturbation practice yet by any means. But when I have taken my time, I'm like, holy shit, I just discovered something. And it's fantastic. Yeah. So I just thought I'd throw that out there because I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah. And you said it exactly right. Like taking the time, it doesn't always have to be some quick thing, and it doesn't have to be something that just it's done and over. Right. And mm-hmm. especially as women, we have the ability to have multiple orgasms. So taking the time to experience that and then again, take your body to that level if you want to.
Right. What else? Like, so let's say you're doing external stimulation on your vulva. What can you be doing with like your other hand? If you're using one hand.
No, I'm just kidding. With your other hand, let's see. So I'm trying to think of like how. All right. So with your other hand, you could give yourself some nipple stimulation. You could use the other hand to insert a finger vaginally if you wanted to. You could do some anal stimulation or penetration if you wanted to do that. You could, if you're someone that likes to tense up and make your body very tight, you could grip onto your sheets. That can provide a lot of fantasy and pleasure to a lot of women too, or people in general. So I think there's many things. If your partner is there, you could grab their penis or grab their vulva. Don't grab their vulva.
Don't grab it.
Just like a full grip. Bear claw.
Don't grab their vulva.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's so funny. And then you also mentioned a few positions while you were talking about ways to masturbate. Mm-hmm. So I've only ever masturbated on my back. I only ever thought that that was the position that you could masturbate in. Mm-hmm. Literally, we had one episode where they mentioned like riding a pillow, and I was like, I can do that when I'm at, I can do whatever I want when I'm masturbating. But I literally had no idea that there were more positions that you could explore. So mm-hmm. what other types of positions do you encourage for masturbating?
Yes, great question. So if you are on your back, the next part, I would say, if you like being on your back, you know you like being on your back, try it on your back with a pillow underneath your back so that you are elevated a little bit more. It's just going to provide just different sensation. And if you're someone that's using something internally, when you are propped up like that, you're able to get better G-spot access. So if you're looking to have that G-spot orgasm or vaginal orgasm, I would say start there. Next, I would say definitely then move. We're just going into a clockwise position, yeah. Right? So we're going to start on a side. You know, you're in the fetal position. That is the position that we are when we're in womb, right? So that's a very comfortable position for us, very submissive position. But the way that our legs are, you're going to just feel that stimulation, that vibration or penetration much differently than if you were, you know, fully on your back or on your stomach. So I would say try that. I would definitely try on your stomach. I'm a stomach masturbator. So it's funny, you know, we're obviously complete opposite, yeah. But there's joy in both. I don't masturbate on my back because one time I legit strained my neck. Well, this is for the birds. Like, I don't have time for this.
So I have things to do. I can't get a neck strain.
It was literally from this damn toy. Like the first time doing this. Obviously, you can't really use this well if you're, like, dry humping it, which is usually my go-to. But anyway, so I was like, well, I'm forced to masturbate on my back. Here it goes. But also, if you are, let's say, if you're using a bedroom accessory, maybe you want to try masturbating standing up. Maybe you have that sandwiched between, like, on your bed and you're, again, riding up against your toy like that, but you're actually standing up. Maybe you're just standing up straight against the wall using a toy or using your hand that way. Next time you're in the shower, you could try that. You could try lying in the shower, sitting in the shower, try sitting in a chair. I mean, literally, again, there's no wrong way of doing this. It's just a matter of getting creative and finding different scenarios and finding just different positions that you can try.
So would dry humping a toy be like if you have it on like a pillow? Because that's what we've talked about in previous episodes, like setting it on a pillow. But like, mm-hmm. Yeah. I really like specifics.
Yes, for sure. I think if you're using it on a pillow, you're probably going to get more penetration because your body doesn't have to like go down as far, basically, mm-hmm. If that makes sense. But there are definitely times where it's just flat on the bed and I'm more so like propped up against it. Okay. So I have my hands straight, right? And it's underneath there. So when you just move your pelvis area, like you're getting really, really good clitoral stimulation. And I will say there's definitely a difference in you want a specific, so here you go. There's definitely a difference in the type of mattress that you have, because when I've been traveling before, okay. And I've been on like a fluffy mattress, I'm like the fluff absorbs all of my vibration and that mm-hmm. is not nice. So I like a nice firm mattress, if you will.
Yes.
Word to the wise. Yeah.
Word to the wise. That's put like a cutting board underneath if you need some more fur. Just while you're
bored. You should be on the floor at that point. Just make sure it's clean.
I know. I did have another question come up. It's kind of backtracking, but you were talking about like tensing up. Mm-hmm. So I'm somebody that does tense up, but I've always like had it in my head like, no, I have to relax into it. Like I have to relax. So I've been trying to like force myself to. Is it okay to be like tensed up? I guess I never realized that I thought it was a bad thing and that I've been trying to do something else.
I do the same thing where like I'll get really tense. I'm like, this is the only way I achieve orgasm, but I don't know if I'm like cutting myself short of something.
Exactly.
Something else.
I think oftentimes why we revert to the tenseness is that especially when it's feeling good and it's in the right spot, you know, we tense in a way that we're like, we don't want it to change, right? We don't want it to move. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with tensing. I don't think there's anything wrong with not tensing. I just think it's your fucking orgasm. Like if you're having an orgasm, who cares what you look like or what you're doing while you're doing it, right? As long as it's feeling good to you and you're not putting yourself or anybody else in harm. That's right. Not consensual.
Absolutely.
Harm.
Have you ever tried breathing through it after you've been tensed up?
I have. Yes.
And is it like better or the same than a tensed up orgasm?
Honestly, I feel like it makes me a little less in the moment because I'm thinking like, okay, Cass, like let's breathe through this. But generally when I try and do that is because I'm trying to like set an intention and be a little more like sex magic-y with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's when I really try and like,
yeah. Yeah. I've noticed that if I'm just masturbating, again, we love specific, so I'm going to also be very specific. If I'm just masturbating because I'm like, hey, this is a fun day, let's masturbate. Yeah. And I try to breathe through it that way, that's quicker for me to lose if exactly. I'm tense and I'm trying to breathe. But if I am
sexually charged that day and
luscious.
And, you know, like every time I sit down, I'm like ready to go to like have an orgasm. Like a stiff wind could. Anyway. and then I breathe through it that way. Then that's when I feel like my orgasms are more intense because I'm like elongating it.
I'm sorry. It was the stiff wind
the
for me.
Stiff wind. Just a. It'll just send me going. But so that's where I've noticed the difference. But I am someone that tenses as well.
Mm-hmm. Tense buddies.
Tense buddies. That's bad. My hands are sweaty. I know. It's so sweaty in here. I get really sweaty when I interview. And then also, you don't have to answer about your specific practice. But when you're explaining on your stomach, so that are you... Do you have like penetration when you're on your stomach, or is it just like a dry hump type of movement?
I've done both. So most, my main go-to is just the clitoral stimulation. But I do have, oh, I have it. I'm going to show, yes, I'm going to grab, yes, it and show you guys. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this toy is my go-to for internal stimulation because it's an amazing G-spot toy. It's called OMG. It's by Pure Romance. But so if I'm using this toy, same thing, I will have it inserted vaginally. So the bulb will be inside, but you still get great clitoral stimulation from up here. And then you get a little perineum stimulation down here. So even with this toy, even though it's inserted, I will still do that same on my stomach or flat. But for some reason, just the stomach is definitely my go-to. And I know that I can get there, you know, quicker that way. But with this toy specifically, this is one that I would recommend being on your stomach and using a pillow because it's a G-spot toy. So you're just propped up differently, and being elevated a little bit more makes this give you even more clitoral stimulation.
I'll try and link that in the show notes so that listeners can see like a visual, yeah, of it, because it is like an interesting looking toy. Does the, yeah, base vibrate, or is it just,
yeah, okay, so it has two motors to it. So there's a motor for your G-spot and there's a motor for the clitoris. So when it's inside, like, it's literally the perfect trifecta for your vulva. Like, you're getting G-spot, oh, also it's tapered here, so your vaginal muscles are able to do a full contraction. So you're legit strengthening your pelvic floor when you use this toy.
Talk about a, like, stiff wind. Damn.
Yeah.
Both, yeah, of our eyes got huge when you said double motor. We're just like, holy mama. Yeah.
That will be
like, because this toy, it looks like the perfect shape for, mm-hmm, exactly what you're speaking about.
Yeah.
Shit.
Because are there any? Is literally, it's inside our vagina. It's 2 inches in, it's 2 inches forward, and you find it by giving that come here motion. Mm-hmm. So the fact that this has such a nice curve to it, plus you have this flat surface here, so a lot of surface area to cover to find the G spot, because the shit is already hard enough to find, right? Okay. I don't need something super small magnifying glass shape to like try to find this. Okay. But yeah, the because it's literally about 2 inches in, it already has that curve. It's, like I said, it's literally the perfect G-spot toy I've ever experienced.
Is there any issues with it, like, falling out if you're, like, doing a, like, a humping motion? Do you get what I'm saying?
Great, yep, question. So, no, because, again, it's tapered here. So, when your vaginal muscle is literally just, like, clamps onto it, so it's in there. Like, your vagina is going to hold it in. It's not going to shoot out or anything like that. Yeah,
love
that's a
that.
Really great question.
Like a squid grip. It makes me think of that light bulb thing where you can put a light bulb in your mouth but you can't take it out. Have you never heard of that? Don't look at me that way. Okay, well, you, as humans, we can fit a light bulb in our mouths, but we can't take it out because of the shape. That is obviously an unsafe thing. I know that, like, now I'm going to stick a light bulb in my mouth for some stupid reason.
I'm never going to be able to get it out.
Well, it would crack. But anyways, this is a much better version. And I didn't. Sorry. That's just what it made me think of. But I love that it doesn't fall out. That sounds incredible.
Do you have any recommendations for those type of toys where it's more of a bulb on the inside? Because coming out, for me, if I have a toy that's shaped like that, can kind of hurt. So I've been trying to figure out better ways to, like, not be scared of that part and to relax. But it's still kind of, like, it's uncomfortable if it's bigger on the inside and I'm, mm-hmm, pulling it out.
Yeah. Great question. I would say WeVibe, also the WeVibe Match, is also a really good G-spot toy. It's like in a shape of a U. So that you're, again, I think the key with a G-spot or an internal toy is that it's not something super long. I really think there's a lot of magic behind having something that is legitimately just like this 2 inches. So the WeVibe Match is same. So you get that vaginal and clitoral stimulation with it. And so I would say that one, and that one is nice and flat. It's not real bulky. So for something that might be experiencing pain with penetration, that I think would be another good one to go with.
The only other thing, well, we've kind of, I guess, already been talking about it, but if we could talk about like internal stimulation with the hand mm-hmm. and good ways to do that. Because we talked about like come hither. Is there anything else that you could be doing with your fingers inside?
To yourself.
Yeah, to yourself.
Yeah. Because, yeah, the angle itself is just tricky.
It's like a claw.
Yeah. So I find that, so if you look at your hand, likely your middle finger is the longest finger. Mm-hmm. So if you use your middle finger for the vaginal penetration, and then you can use your thumb for clitoral stimulation at the same time. And you're almost like, it looks very weird, but when you're inside, it's almost like you're like pushing, you're trying to like make the two touch internally.
Ooh, that's a great tip.
I've never used my thumb. That is fun.
She's gone unused for so many years.
She's like, come on.
Yeah.
Thumb wrestling. I've been working for it. Yeah, I'm ready.
I've earned this.
Put me in, coach. Well, put me out. Keep me on the outside, but put me in the team.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you have any like last things that maybe we didn't touch on in terms of masturbation that you want to like throw out there or talk about?
Yeah, definitely. So I wanted to share a freebie that I have on my website for your listeners if they'd like to go grab that. Yeah. But it is called, so it's called 5 Ways to Get the Foreplay That You Crave. And it is a lot about, again, reconnecting with yourself. And there's also in the tips, it's things that you can do either if you're solo. So if you're listening to this and you don't have a partner, you can 100% do these things with yourself. But if you do have a partner, definitely there's great ideas for the two of you together. And at the end of it, it gives you a schedule, basically. So you can literally fit in the intimacy into your weeks, because that's something that I hear so often from people. It's like, I just don't have the time. And it really does come down to making the time for the self. So if you're listening today and you're like, I'm going to start masturbating more. Well, you need to essentially have a plan for it. And you kind of need to know what you're going into. I have a friend actually that I have made her set a reminder on her phone, like a reminder to masturbate, because so often where it's like, we'd rather do the laundry, like shit that we don't even enjoy doing. It's like, oh, I have to get this done. No, I'm saying you need to masturbate and then fold your laundry, right? Like pleasure yourself first, or pleasure your partner first, or get some pleasure in your damn life before you do the shit that you don't want to be doing anyways. So yeah, if you go to my website, rachelmaine.com, you'll see a pink button on there. It says freebies. You can download it. It gets emailed to you as well. So you have it forever and ever in your inbox unless you delete it. But it's a great, great resource, I think, for people that are looking again to explore this new side of themselves and then be able to share that fun with their partner too.
Oh, thank you so much. That's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. I think that's a perfect tool.
And you've mentioned your website and stuff, but where can our listeners connect with you after the episode?
Yeah, definitely on the website. Everything is linked there. If you want to find me on Instagram, if you want to listen to the podcast, anything like that. And then I am on Facebook as Rachel Maine, M-A-I-N-E, just like the state. And then Instagram, I'm at the Rachel Maine.
Perfect.
Thank you so much, Rachel. Holy Toledo. Do you know more?
Holy Tostitos.
Holy Tostitos. I prefer Takis.
They're too spicy for me.
Well,
you have to have a baby.
You have to have Takis with a Slurpee, and then it's not. You know what? I'm going to fuck with that today.
You know what? I just planned my day.
I just planned my day, and that's what I'm going to do right now.
I'm a weak bitch.
Yeah.
Do I sound like Davy Jones?
Bitch. Say it again.
Bitch.
Do not call our guest a bitch.
I did not. Rachel, I was calling Emma a bitch.
You know what? I'm going to save us. Rachel, thank you so much for being on the episode today. And thank you to our listeners for listening in.
I'm going to get you back. You know what I'm doing? I'm mind fucking with you right now. And that's a teaser for a future episode.
Ooh, there you go.
Well, dropping breadcrumbs for you, honey.
You are dropping breadcrumbs. Ask our guest to do the next thing. Our
I'm
listeners.
Not going to ask our guest to do it. Rachel, you don't have to do anything. You gave us plenty.
Yes, you did.
But if you are a listener and you're looking to give us a little bit of sugar, head on over to Apple Podcasts. Rate, review, and subscribe to Honey Do Me. It means so damn much to us. And if you leave a written review, we would also like that very much.
And they should drop an emoji.
Yes. I couldn't figure out what.
Maybe the hand emoji?
Any sort of hand emoji.
Yeah.
How do you position your hand when you're masturbating? Leave the hand that feels the most similar. That's actually so fun.
Or the fuck you finger.
Yeah.
I love that. whatever you use to masturbate, leave that as the emoji.
Yeah. I love that. That's so fun. Anyways, I guess we will see you next week, unless you guys want to hang out right now. But
yeah,
I think we should just go, I guess.